It is time now for Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership. It's on the first Friday of each month. We meet with some local partners working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. This week, we'll be visiting with Mary Ann Mitchell, educational psychologist and certified mental health first aid trainer. Mary Ann, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We also have Caroline Hall, ADAPT intern and senior at Cedar Ridge High School. Caroline, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we're going to start off just for those who don't know that the Orange Partnership is a local coalition that focuses on healthy communities. It's focused its efforts on enhancing protective factors that could reduce the likelihood of young people turning to substance abuse. One of the things I love about the Orange Partnership, they're trying to deal with the issues that lead people to use substances, and that seems like the best way to approach it. I wonder if you could each introduce yourselves and tell us how you got involved in this work, and we'll start with Mary Ann.
My name is Dr. Mary Ann Mitchell. I'm an educational psychologist, as you already said, and I serve as a consultant to the Orange Partnership and to some other partnerships in this particular area. I have been in mental health services for, let's say, over 40 years, and we'll stop there. And I have a really amazing experience since we have moved to North Carolina from Los Angeles, working with the partnerships here that so seamlessly put together programs and trainings for parents and for their kiddos. I provide a lot of the mental health first aid and CRIM, which is a community resilience model, training in the schools, and we're trying really hard to get our teachers trained and our parents.
It's Mary Ann Mitchell. We also have Cedar Ridge High School senior Caroline Hall. Caroline?
Hello, I'm Caroline. I have been an intern with Orange Partnership for 3 years, and this is my last year, sadly. But right now, throughout the whole year, I've been collecting data and doing peer education, but we're in the project semester. So I'm doing a project right now, and I'm connecting my school, Cedar Ridge, with the resources that I have from Orange Partnership to implement mental health tools for students at our school. And so we're providing coping mechanisms for my peers and such.
Is that something that you were spearheading at the school as somebody who has this experience as an ADAPT intern, or is this an ADAPT intern project specifically?
This is an ADAPT intern project, but it's very much just in partnership with my school to give my school all of the resources they need.
It is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's what we're talking about today on the Orange Partnership. I did want to check in with Caroline here. It's now May 1st of your senior year. How are you doing?
My IB exams start on Monday.
Oh, so you're still in it. You're still in it.
Yeah. I haven't completely checked out yet. I can't until May 15th, and then I will be checking out.
I taught high school for several years, and I had seniors for lots of those years, and it was the juniors and sophomores would be like, I've got senioritis, and you're like, you don't even understand. You guys do not understand what senioritis is. You think you do when you're a junior or a sophomore, but it's once, do you know where you're going? You know what your plans are next year?
I'm going to Davidson College.
So I found that to be the big, once you got into where you were going and finalized that decision, it's
yes.
What am I doing here still? I mean, you got IB exams, there's stuff that matters. You got this project that's it's not even grade related. I mean, and you may be getting a grade on it, but that's not really why this project's happening, right? So there's things that you're invested in, but it's still it's hard.
Yeah, it's a little difficult.
Let's get back to the specific mental health awareness aspect of this. It's a nationwide awareness month, and this year's theme is More Good Days Together. I wonder if we could talk about what you think they meant by good in this context. When we say good day, what's that mean? And either of you can go for it.
Well, for me, a good day right now is one that is manageable. When I don't feel weighed down and I'm on top of all the work I need to do, or at least I have a plan to get on top of all the work I need to do. And I think that that's my good day is just one that's I don't have in the back of my mind the stress of I'm not going to get everything done. So that's a good day for me.
I think that in the context of kids and children, having a good day is having safety. It's being in a safe place with safe adults. It's having what for adults and for children, it's what we need physically. We're getting physically, emotionally, spiritually, all those pieces of who we are, and that they are available to us, and that they, especially in the case of a young person, they are protected.
I feel like this is the sort of thing, I mean, in some ways, this is hearkening back to my experience as an English teacher with this question, right? Like, what do we mean by a good day? But I feel like the sorts of things that we just laid out, a kid a lot of times doesn't even know if those needs are being met, and they're having mental health repercussions based on needs that they're not aware of that aren't being met. You know, having conversations like this, you know, talking out loud about what a good day is kind of gives people tools to do that sort of thing and identify potential problems or identify areas of strength even. So appreciate the context of this conversation. I do want to bring it back to specific ways that Orange County schools are working to promote mental health in K-12 students. I think we kind of know the general answer here, but what are kind of things that are major impacts for students' mental health these days?
I think, again, having that teacher or teachers or somebody in that school that is that person that that young person can go to. So in order to be that person, I believe that that is facilitated by training, and that is where the trainings that Dr. Dreyer, who's the head of support services in Orange County Schools, has been really moving forward with counselors. Another trainer and I just finished doing an introduction to CRIM, and we'll talk some more about what that is in a few minutes, an introduction to CRIM with 60 support staff teachers who at the end of it were frustrated. They were frustrated because they didn't get enough. And so now we're going to go back and do the whole thing. And so it's a whole idea of CRIM giving teachers tools to teach to kids, to teach to their kids. And when you have very concrete ways that are taught, that is when it makes a difference.
It's the voice of Marianne Mitchell, educational psychologist and certified mental health first aid trainer. You also alluded to, we'll say several years, working in this industry. I've had this conversation a couple of times in the last few days, as a matter of fact, about the evolving stigma around mental health conversations. And, you know, just hearing Caroline talk about it, where, you know, you and I can think about how she's kind of got like a whole series of tools available to her that when, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, this wasn't even a thing being talked about really in school contexts or otherwise.
No, in fact, it was often culturally relevant, doesn't matter what culture it is that whatever happened at the home stayed in the home, it stayed here, you didn't take it outside, and you didn't ever take it to school. And mental health, sort of over the years, I've seen it take a very slow but a definite shift in, this is pain. I have now developed a relationship with this person at my school, trust, I'm going to talk. And then that opened up ways and programs to train teachers and parents to have those conversations, because it's just as hard. You can train a teacher, but they, at the end of the day, they're going to go home to that family. And that family is their safe space, hopefully. And so we train parents as well.
You can get a little bit more specific about the Orange County Schools Calming Spaces and the Community Resiliency Model, or CRM, programming. What does that mean? How does it fit into this?
CRM, Community Resilience Model, it's a program. It's been around for a while. It was helped to be developed by the Dalai Lama.
How about that?
So I find that to be very cool. It's brain-based program, so we're talking to the kids about their brains. When I'm at Gravelly Hill Middle School with the kiddos, the first lesson we did is we talked about our brains and all of the different ways that our brains work to help us to feel safe, help us to solve problems, and then what happens to us when we get out of our okay zone, which is we adults would call resilience zone. But CRIM teaches these six skills directly. The goal is to create trauma-informed communities, and those communities can be schools, homes, or the larger community, so that we're aware of the effects of trauma and some things that we can do to support each other in homes, schools, and in communities. It has had a lot of very positive impact. I've seen it work. I've seen it work with preschoolers. I've taught preschoolers CRIM. I've taught older adults CRIM skills, and each one of them, to their own developmental stage, they utilize these skills, they practice them with the CRIM guides, and amazing results of being able to pull yourself back into your zone.
It's the voice of educational psychologist Marianne Mitchell. We also have Cedar Ridge High School senior Caroline Hall, and my question for both of you, as a parent, what do I need to be aware of, and how do I need to be talking to my kids about this sort of thing?
From my perspective, I think that parents really just need to be aware of how their child is feeling. Because when you recognize that your child is feeling or acting differently than usual, it can be, I think, attractive to want to just ask them what's wrong and want to get an answer out of them. Mm-hmm. But I think if you realize that that is not going to be helpful, that your child doesn't want to talk about that right now, I think just showing that you are a space that they can come to, letting them come to you, I think is something that parents need to use more often. I also think that when they do come to you, offering resources and reinforcing the training that they hopefully are getting at their schools, giving them the idea that they should be taking breaks when they're studying, and these are some coping mechanisms that you can use. Reinforcing that gives them this huge support system that they can go to whenever they need it. And so I think parents just need to be more aware of what their children needs, like, uniquely.
That's like a long game, right? You're playing a long game there, because you have to be consistently available and be make that aware that you're consistently available. And as an adult, to be fair to teens and kids, like, if you're having a bad day and someone is like, hey, how's your day? What's wrong? What do you say most of the time? And not, it's nothing. Fine. Nothing. Yeah. Let's just move on with our day here. So it's to expect any kind of result out of that as a parent is like, it's a little unfair. Any thoughts on this? We're just about out of time. Marianne, I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
I just, you know, have parents try and still the chatter. You know, we come and just like you said, we've got all this chatter going on. Still it. Listen non-judgmentally and just put the phones away. Put the phones away and just be present. And I think if you're just present and you make that space, they're going to talk to you. Mm.
We're just about out of time, but I do want to check to see if there's anything either of you are hoping to mention that we hadn't gotten to yet.
I think just be aware that in the community, we are going to be offering CRIM trainings and mental health first aid trainings. They are being offered through the health department, and I don't know what the best way would be to get that information to folks. If they go on to the orangecountync.gov /MHT for mental health training. The dates are there. They're coming up. They're free, and they're local.
Mm. Well, I Googled it and got an Instagram post really quickly there that came up. So that's it's readily available on Instagram. And then the AI has something completely wrong at the top. So ignore what the AI says and go with the Instagram, I guess. Caroline and Marianne, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having
us.
And thanks for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by the Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. Find more information at orangepartnership.com.